Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Once-in-a-lifetime hail means a very special opportunity to purchase a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Choose from 42 options. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the Calgary airport.
Well, many have said it since Jeff Ward was officially made head coach of the Flames yesterday. In fact, many had said it even before that. But it's been brought up. This is now head coach number four for Brad Treliving in his six seasons as general manager of the Calgary Flames. That's our focus on today's Calgary Flames Roundtable. Welcome back to the big show. My name is Pat Steinberg. His name is Peter Klein, and he's Logan Gordon. That is our Daily Flames Roundtable on this Tuesday afternoon. So I wanted to take a look because that has been a topic, and the decision was made yesterday, and so much of yesterday was absolutely focused on Jeff Ward coming back as the head coach. So I thought we'd take it another step and look at the GM and his tenure as Calgary Flames GM. So, Logo, before we get into the actual tenure, I'll ask you this. How much of an indictment is it for you that this is the fourth coach in 6 years for Treliving?
It's not a huge one for me. I think that he, you know, took the job when Bob Hartley was already here and is in, you know, sort of a tough position for a guy that, you know, technically won the Jack Adams Award in that situation. And, you know, for me, I think coming into that spot as a GM, you want to have your guy. And so when you're kind of forced into, you know, starting with somebody that's not your guy, I don't really put that as much on you. And I've discussed this over the week since we've talked, you know, a lot about Jeff Ward. I really don't put much onus on Brad Treliving for the Bill Peters situation. I feel like it was so out of his hands and out of his control that it spiraled into something that nobody could have seen coming. And I don't think you can, you know, shoulder the blame onto Brad Treliving because he didn't go back into, you know, the past to find these, you know, dark secrets that Bill Peters had been hiding or behind for a lot of years. So for me, this is, you know, the Gullitson experiment didn't work out. And I think the pressure is on with this Ward one here, but I don't think of it as a huge indictment at this point. I don't know how you feel about that, Kleiner.
It's certainly not nothing. And the Bill Peters conversation does, I think, throw a wrench into this because, like, that is a coaching change that was certainly beyond his control. And like I said, like Logan said there, I don't really put that one on him for not unearthing that. Bill Peters had also coached with Hockey Canada, and they didn't seem to find anything either. So I don't put that one on him, but it does still, like, it's still four coaches in 6 years is just a lot. And I think part of it is, I guess, just not really reading. Like, to me, one of the problems with this team is they have a good year, and then midway through the next year, it's, oh, well, coach has lost the room. And then they fire the coach and they bring another one in, and then that guy has a good year, and then he has kind of a middle of the road the next year, and, oh, well, lost the room. And at some point, it's the room that being too losable, that's the problem. But overall, I don't think that it's going to be, I don't think it's a major black mark on Brad Treliving, but it's certainly something that is on his permanent record. I will say that.
It is, and optically, it doesn't look great. Like, if you were to just look at it on the surface, four coaches in 6 years is not what you set out to do as a general manager. But I really don't look at it as an indictment of the job he's done. I really don't. I think that there's a few things. First of all, he inherited Bob Hartley, and in year one, when he was just getting his talents into the team, they had this ridiculous, completely odds-defying regular season and playoff win over Vancouver, where in hindsight, they weren't ready for that. They were not a good hockey team that year. They really weren't, but they found ways, and it was exciting, and they kept on pulling out these third-period comebacks, so on and so forth. It was fun, and Bob Hartley, rightly or wrongly, I lean towards wrongly, but rightly or wrongly, Hartley was given a lot of credit for that. And I think that Treliving was almost forced to give Hartley the contract extension. I think, all things being equal, I don't know if Treliving came in and said, Hartley's my guy, but it happened that way. They step back the next year and they go in different directions. So he inherited Hartley. He gives Gullitson the gig. that doesn't work for 2 years. One playoff appearance, one non-playoff appearance. We know the only one that I really disagreed with was going from Gulletson to Peters. I'm in the minority on this one. I thought Gulletson deserved another year. I would have stuck with Glenn Gulletson. I said it at the time. I say it in hindsight. I still would have. But it's not even a mistake, because the first year under Bill Peters, they finished number one in the Western Conference in the regular season. But you know, then what? Nobody could have foreseen what was going to happen with Bill Peters. That's completely beyond anybody's control. So I don't really look like this is not fire, hire, fire, hire, fire, hire. It's an inherited coach. There's really been one coaching change and one coaching move that has totally been all on him, and that's Gulletson from Gulletson to Peters. Otherwise, one was an inherited head coach. One was a scenario where there was no other choice but to go from Peters to Jeff Ward. So I don't really see it as a big-time indictment. Did I love the Gulletson to Peters? At the time, no, but at the same time, you're a GM, you make coaching changes, and that was 4 years into his tenure when he decided to do that. So I don't think it's, like, it looks bad. It's four coaches in 6 years. That's not a great optical thing to see. But when you dive a little deeper into it, when you bring context into it, I don't see it looking as bad in reality right. as what it looks like on the surface.
And I think one more, bit of context that needs to be added to this is part of the conversation we had yesterday, where he doesn't get the full phone book for coaches that are available. Like, he has to, I don't want to say bargain bin shop, because that makes it, I think that's a little too demeaning for Gulletson and Ward. But this isn't a guy who has the opportunity to go out and spend on the big money coaches. And when you do have to get a little bit more creative mm-hmm. with who you're bringing in, sometimes there are going to be swings and misses. I did not mind the job Glenn Gulletson did. I thought probably deserved a bit of a longer look. I actually thought the Bill Peters hiring was a fine one at the time. And then that turned out not to necessarily be the case. But I think when you are just kind of focusing in the circles that he is financially forced to focus in, I think you do have to give a little bit more margin for error there.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. It's Peter Klein, Logan Gordon, and my name is Pat Steinberg, as we're focusing in on the general manager on our Daily Flames Roundtable today. So let's take a look at the six-season tenure that Brad has had since taking over as general manager. Four playoff appearances in 6 years, one playoff round win in year one over the Vancouver Canucks. Lots of big moves made. He has not been shy to go out and make significant changes. So what has been the biggest strength of this regime over six seasons, Klein? What's the biggest strength of this regime?
Well, selfishly, it's they always give us something to talk about, whether we're going through four coaches in 6 years or a bunch of trades and a bunch of free agent signings. They give us a lot to talk about all the time.
As Robbie would say, it's never dull.
Yeah, but to actually seriously answer this question, I think the job that he has done in managing the internal salary cap of this team is a real strong suit, and probably the one that stands out on his resume to me. We can talk about the playoff success or lack thereof of guys like Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan. Those are still two very team-friendly contracts that are on the books, and you have your captain at 6.75. In a time where now we are seeing contracts getting into the eight figures, those numbers are really helping. And there's a couple contracts, one in particular that's not great, that you had to bring in because you signed a not great contract. But overall, the cap-friendly page looks pretty good, I think, for the Calgary Flames right now.
Yeah, as far as re-signing his own assets and I think getting ahead of guys on RFA deals, I think, has been a real strength for him. I think the draft and development side of things has been a real strength for Brad and his team since they've come in. I really think that they've solidified it. They've developed some prospects, got them into the NHL, and seen them become impact makers since this team came in. If anything, we learned during the pandemic here and doing the NHL redraft thing, it's that you learn about successful teams and how important drafting becomes. And for a long time, this team was inept at drafting. And it's, you know, not all of the guys on the team right now are Brad Treliving and company draft picks, but the ones that he's had for the most part, he's made them count. They're developing in the organization. I think they're in a lot better spot now than they were before Brad was here. And I agree with Klein as far as the internally managing numbers and keeping contracts in-house to a good level has been a real strength of his.
Yeah, and I think both of those are the two that there's no doubt about for me that are I think are the biggest strengths of this management regime and what they've been able to do. And you know, like, if I were to go one over the other, and I will say, Kleiner, I will say that what your point about giving us lots to talk about, I do think it goes beyond that. Like, I do think there is... I give a lot of respect and I tip my hat to a general manager who goes out and isn't afraid to take swings. Like, I think it's easier to just, sometimes it's easier to just, yeah, you know what, let's stand pat. Sometimes that's the right move, but I do appreciate Brad's ability to go out and not sit on assets and not like every trade has been perfect or has worked out in Calgary's favor, but the philosophy of swinging big, I actually do appreciate, and I do think that is a strength. But of the two, because I think those are the two, of the two, I think what this team has done in the draft is bonkers since they've taken over. And I've talked to a couple of people about this in hockey, inside and outside of the organization. And you take a look at the 2014 draft, and that is not a good draft for the Flames. I mean, Bennett is an NHLer. The rest, no. I mean, Mason McDonald and Hunter Smith in the second round, that's no good. Brandon Hickey has yet to play an NHL game. That was a pretty poor draft, all things considered. And it technically falls on this management regime. But, I mean, in reality, Treliving had been on the job for like 7 weeks, and Conroy and Pascal were AGMs for like 3 weeks. It was, and maybe my times give or take a week here and there. But the point is, it was not their draft. That was still a Brian Burke draft, and it was a bad draft. Since this regime had the full keys to the drafting Corvette, they have done really good work with it. Since the 2015 draft, Anderson, Shillington, Mangiapane are all either full-time pretty good NHLers or guys that can play NHL minutes. 2016 saw them get Tkachuk, Dubé, and Adam Fox. And I know that Fox isn't in the organization, but those are three full-time NHLers. Valimaki in 2017. I think Rozichka is going to play in 2018. That one, they did not have a lot of picks in, but a lot of people point to Emilio Peterson and Martin Pospisil and say, and Zavgorodny as well in the seventh round, and say those are pretty decent prospects. And then Peltier, Wolf in the most recent draft. This team has started to turn the draft into their biggest strength, and it is bonkers what they've been able to do outside of the first round. Valimaki and Tkachuk are first rounders, and they're great. Peltier looks like he's going to be a pretty good player and play in the NHL as well, but look at what they've done in round two and round three and round six. Pretty good work, and I think that has been the biggest immediate strength. And as you talked about, Klein, what they've done in contract signings, also good, but that drafting record is the best I think we've ever seen from a Calgary Flames management group.
Yeah, it's important that they're hitting on some of the later round picks, because this is not, again, just speaking to the, I guess, busyness of this group, it's not an organization that's afraid to trade first round picks. So there have been a couple times where they've had to go find diamonds in the rough, and it's worked out. And you come away from drafts where you don't have a first round pick and still get actual NHL talent. And that is very important. If you're going to be swinging for the fences and moving first round picks, you got to hit on those late round ones. And I think the Flames have done a pretty good job of that.
It's our daily Calgary Flames roundtable alongside Logan Gordon and Peter Klein. My name is Pat Steinberg. Final topic. Then on the other side, where is the biggest downfall for this management group been? Where would you say the Treliving regime has run into their biggest issues? Logo?
I mean, look, the obvious one is free agency. And the, you know, the, we talked about taking big swings and, you know, going after guys, and Troy Brouwer and, you know, James Neal have been disasters for this team. they made the best of a bad situation with James Neal and were able to find themselves a serviceable piece with Milan Lucic. But, you know, you've still got to live with another bad contract. And I think that that's easily the biggest flaw that the management staff has had under Brad Treliving. And I think that for me, I would add recently more than at the beginning or the first few years, just the inability the last little while to have, and I know this takes two and there's other circumstances in this, and Pat, you and I have talked about this, but just the inability the last little while to get the, you know, final trigger pulled on a couple of deals that we've heard that got really close, or, you know, got just to the point of, you know, Kadri nixing it, or we heard, you know, Zucker at the deadline was really close or something like that. Just the inability to kind of finish some of those moves that we've heard come up lately, I think has been a little bit disappointing. But other than that, I mean, Klein, it's hard to go anywhere other than the free agents that have, you know, just been disasters.
Yeah, aside from the first week of July for a couple of years, this has been a really impressive run. But yeah, like the Brouwer contract, the Neal contract, both of those are pretty obvious blemishes. Like early on, I believe it was Lance Boma extension that wasn't awesome, and they were able to work away from, I believe it was Boma. But no, the July 1 is the main issue right now. And I think the bigger part of that is just identifying, because I think identifying regular season guys has been really good for the Flames, and just identifying why it hasn't translated to the postseason and maybe overcompensating for that a little bit in bringing in those big playoff type guys that don't necessarily work once you get them in free agency. So I think that one's the obvious one for me.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, to your point about free agency, Klein, and I guess to both your points on free agency, yeah, I don't think that UFA work has been, I mean, Mason Raymond, Jonas Hiller, then Brouwer, Neal, one's a buyout, one's a trade for another bad deal. You know, there have been some hits. I think Frolik was a hit. I think that was a great free agent signing. I think Derek Ryan was a great free agent signing. So hasn't been all bad in UFA, but there have been some ones that have certainly hampered the team. To the point about the trades logo, I like, you're right, but it's tough for me to really criticize the group for those. Zucker was out of their control. The deal was made, and the deal got nixed from above, as I understand it. The Stone deal they were in on, but Vegas liked Ottawa's deal better than Calgary's deal. They liked the player better, I think. They were really into Brännström. What was the other one? The Kadri deal? Like, what are you supposed to do? Kadri said no. He nixed the trade. What are you supposed to do?
So let me just preface this, and I said it quickly, and I knew this would come up, but I understand in fully, and I don't hold against that it takes two, sometimes more than that, to make a deal happen. I totally believe that. But I'm just saying, it feels like lately there's been an inability to finally pull the trigger or get something done, find a way to get something done on one of those moves that Brad's been known for and that he likes to go for. That's the only thing. And so that's not a full shot on him for all the reasons that you've mentioned, and those are just the ones that we know about. And I know I'm with you guys as far as I like a GM that's going to go out and try to actively make his team better and not sit on his hands. But, you know, at the same time, you want to make these deals. You got to find a way to make some of these happen if you want to be there. But I preface that all by saying I understand there's other circumstances when it comes to getting deals done.
Yeah, that's hard. Like, if a guy doesn't waive a no move clause, how are you supposed to bring him in? Like, sometimes it's like, yeah, that would have been awesome.
Has he seen Jasper though?
But what's that?
Has he seen Jasper though? Like, there was a great video of Alberta before. I think we probably could have sold him a little bit better.
The Pacific Ocean is beautiful in Calgary. You should come. No, you know, and this is, it's not for lack of trying, and it's not like this is easy. But the biggest area that I think this group has struggled with is truly being able to find a goaltender that they can go forward with. I mean, look, since Treliving has been here, I mean, we're talking about Hiller, and not all of the, like, Ramo was a Feaster acquisition, so that's not on him. But, I mean, we're talking about Hiller. We're talking about Brian Elliott, Chad Johnson. Now it's Cam Talbot, Mike Smith. David Riddick, they have tried. Like, they have gone through a number of goalies. And again, this is not easy. Other organizations struggle with it too. And goaltending is a straight up crapshoot. Pinder calls it voodoo, and he's right. But they have tried and tried and tried and have yet to really be able to find that goaltender and to find a guy that they can go forward with for more than 4 or 5 months, for more than a season. And even when they do have a guy that is here for more than a season, they're really never able to be strong for a long period of time. Riddick's had great flashes, but hasn't been able to do it for over a season. Mike Smith was great, and then he wasn't. And Cam Talbot, we don't know, and we don't like. So it's just, it's been a struggle, and I know that it's hard, and I know that they have tried, but at the same time, Klein in a results-oriented business, they haven't been able to nail that as of yet.
Yeah, that's, I think, a very fair critique of this group, where there have been a lot of stuff thrown at the wall, and whether it be trade, draft, free agency, they have tried it all. And it hasn't necessarily clicked. It's kind of funny that the one that has come the closest to clicking was just kind of an under the radar undrafted free agent. Just, oh yeah, and we'd sign this David Rittich. It probably doesn't matter. We signed this guy. That's the one that has come the closest to sticking so far. So no, that I think that is a very, very fair critique of this group.
There you go. He's Logan. He's Peter. My name is Pat. And that is another Daily Offseason Flames Roundtable.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Once in a lifetime hail means a very special opportunity to purchase a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Choose from 42 options. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the Calgary airport.